Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 4 characters. Brandon.
I'm Ikurok Poonflay,
level 4 Bloodhunter Half-Orc.
Caleb.
My birth name is Caleb. The name I've adopted is Kaito Atata. I am the Warforged Barbarian, level 4.
Tomo!
Tomo, I'm playing Steve Tehiman.
I'm a level 4 human ranger.
Brayden!
I am Beleg Degar, half-elf hexblade warlock, also level 4.
P.S. We have a badger.
Krizzlik.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Okay, so last time we got to the docks and we checked out around the Sea Pickle and we noticed a group of individuals. I guess this was the episode before last. A group of individuals around our boat, and when we walked up, rumble happened. So the last episode was basically a giant bloodbath. Krizzlik and Kaitoa started on the lower docks, taking on like a massive party, and then the group was engaged, but also another party, like basically two parties, one north and one south on the dock. After like basically crushing everyone, Mickey the entire episode was taking stab after stab of javelins and lances, and was like a walking pincushion. As he was like bleeding out and about to die, Beleg was able to get to him to fight off the party. And then as the party cleaned up the scraps of the other guys, we all ended up getting around Mickey, saving him with a cure wounds and some potions. Mickey gave us a contact. What was the name?
Dorophil.
Dorophil, right?
Dorophil the Explorer.
More like Borophil.
Chlorophil.
Dorophil? Yeah. And we also were able to find a detailed drawing of the pickle on two individuals that we killed. And then one individual booked it and was able to get away to the south. Another guy who was really damaged dove off the docks into the water. The guy going south, I believe we are going to think about chasing after in some way.
Yeah,
are we retconning that Prince Stolas has gone after him?
Well, I would like to submit that Steve has sent Prince Stolas up and away to chase after that guy.
Yeah, and also we use the term Mickey and not Gurm, and some of these individuals may have heard that name.
Well, they're all dead now.
Except for the one guy. Oh no, he wasn't there.
Pass that along, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that only moments have passed. I mean, that whole last scene, he could not have gotten further away. So, Steve, if you're thinking about that fellow who escaped into the first alleyway, the crowd there, let's say he's just gone around the corner. But you were definitely had your hands literally full with healing Gurm. So if you're going to give chase to this guy via owliness, then I would get on it.
Yeah, I've told Stolas to chase, to fly, and to keep an eye on this, at least to find him. If it's possible, what I was thinking of, once I've cleared the healing of Gurm, I would try to do that rangery concentration tracking.
Track humans?
Yeah. And track that humanoid guy.
Do you have to roll for that?
It's a survival check to track him, but I do have advantage on it. And then through the use of it, I can, if he's within 5 miles, if he's a really fast runner, then he's gotten away, but if not... Yeah.
Must you spend a minute meditate on to do this?
I've got to concentrate. Yeah, I can't be doing really anything else. Well, that's the thing. Like after I cast the spell, or after I cast Cure.
Oh, you just can't move. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not much else I can do.
All right. Well, then roll away and let's hang out for a minute.
Well, is it possible to do that, Rob?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Okay.
I will do that, and then I'm in constant communication with Stolas, so what I know is imparted to him if I can track this guy.
It sounds like a beautiful relationship.
And then once he does find him, if he does, then I can see through his eyes and I can see what this guy's doing. Like if he's going into a building, if it is like a...
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So if this works out, then it works out that's pretty good. Awesome. I was thinking about this earlier this week, so hopefully this works out. So roll survival?
Yeah. Roll survival.
So 16. Survival check.
Yeah, go fly as far as you want this thing to fly.
We've pushed the sea pickle away, haven't we? Or is it still docked?
Not yet, no. That's what
Where is the sea pickle? Is it there?
A bunch.
It's by the lower dock that we started fighting on.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's sort of on the line of the boat.
You got it.
Oh, yeah, okay. So with this map or this, I guess, diagram of the sea pickle, does it give us any insight as to how Gurm has been operating it? I mean, we've got two of these bad boys now.
Are you talking about the parchment drawings you have from these guys?
Yeah.
I want to know what it's like a rough exterior sketch of it, clearly showing, you know, that it's the sea pickle.
And where rooms are, maybe, but that's about it.
You spent, what, like 10, 12 days on this thing? I mean, you know every inch of this thing pretty much, except maybe for, like, Gurm's cabin. I mean, you've jumped into his pilot seat, but no, you know every inch of the pickle.
So, Mickey, or I guess I should call you Gurm, how's that crossbow work?
He's fucking dying right now.
Hey, no, we cured my disease, all right. You put some gorp on it.
Yeah. Why don't you give me a couple of hands here, guys? Get me out of my own pool of blood, please. And maybe march me off out of the sun on the jetty.
I just pick him up. Gently set him down in the shade on the side.
Yeah, there are two, like, lakes of blood. The one down on the lower docks is massive. And the two boats that you recognize, you know, the sea pickle and the larger boat that just docked to the north of it, are bobbing away there. To the south is where that final, that fifth Lancer brigand ran, and you don't need to go, you know, through any building. You immediately enter into the South Docks district of Polb.
Right. So,
and you're helping Mickey along. Yeah. So, yeah, you help him along and slump him against the wall of this dock building here, Kaitoa.
Yeah.
Hey. Krizblik obediently, in a great-looking poncho, is following you along. And, yeah, it's actually for a cold day. You know, the sun is warming you all up. There are a couple of passers-by now coming from the boats now that this bloodbath has subsided. And although they're, like, keeping to the edges of this quite wide jetty, as you guys make your conversation here, the activity on the jetty is starting to pick up again slowly.
Hey,
Rob,
like this when we got here.
Yeah.
Be done your meditating there, Steve. This guy is running fast to the toll bridge.
After him.
Yeah, we going? Toll bridge?
Yeah.
Is Mickey okay on his own? Should we?
I'll throw him on my back. I can carry him.
Are you going to Luke Skywalker Yoda this shit?
Yeah, totally.
Do a strength check and a dexterity check.
Did we see if these assailants came from a specific boat? When they came after the
one, this one right here, north. I want to check that out.
Yeah, I want to check that out too.
yes, you did notice. You guys, half-elf and half-orc, you're recognizing that. Do you want to go check out what's going on down there?
I do. I do want to investigate that boat.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Look, we can have... Stolas can keep an eye on this guy. Now that Stolas is chasing after him and knows where he is.
As long as he can keep following him and we don't have to, like, get to him because he expires or something like that, or he might lose him.
Okay. Yeah, is your range infinite?
Steve takes a minute to ask Stolas if he can... or takes a second to ask Stolas if he can follow this guy.
Well, yeah, if he can follow him and we can just stay here and we don't actually have to, like, run this guy down. Also, though, like, what are the chances of us catching up to him? Slim to none.
He's got a head start if he's still moving.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know it takes time, but I'm not opposed to a party split up either. You guys want to keep chasing him?
I'm worried about that.
Yeah, so no, I'm not.
I'd rather we'll stay here then.
All right.
Let's all take a look at the boat.
Okay, so...
Oh, yeah, I need a strength check and a dex.
Well, if you're able right now to... all stay together, then it looks like Mickey is okay here. In the shade of this building, and miraculously, Krizblik is nuzzling under Mickey's hand. Krizblik seems completely worn out, and as you guys spoke, she seemed to regain a little bit of that fear you saw her exhibit before as she passed one of the carcasses on the upper level.
Which one?
The ninja, probably.
I guess roll a wisdom, Steve?
Perception?
Investigation?
Yeah.
That's a wisdom check. what do you want me to roll, Rob?
I mean, you just did the intuition part as a character. I mean, you don't need to roll intuition. You intuit perception. Something. So now roll a wisdom.
Straight wisdom check? Or a perception check?
Do you have advantage or some modifier on...
I get a plus four.
I would say perception, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Perception.
Perceiving where...
Oh, fuck. That's a nat 20.
Oh,
nice. It didn't matter what you rolled.
Yeah, I was going to say, we all roll that?
It was the one that was the victim of the eldritch magic. The one who screamed and was last, I think, to die on the upper level.
Sorry, Chris Black.
And Steve, you get the impression that perhaps you've discovered part of Krizblik's timidness at a certain point in the last battle. What'd you roll?
Nat 20.
It's Beleg's magic. Of course, it was the shatter spell back in Smuggler's Cave that introduced Krizblik to the party. And she really was reduced, to near, she had, near death experience. And there's the answer.
So she knows who Alpha Dog is. The dude with the shatter. Beware of the dude with the shatter.
I'm extra happy about her general indifference to me now.
Yeah, it's for a good reason.
It's better than it could be. Yeah.
Rob, calling back to the last episode too, Steve has been in and out of Polb a number of times. 12 or so packages. Or is it, I guess he's delivered to Polb.
That's correct. I mean, over the last, say, year or so, you were steadily moving further from north to south through a couple of these major cities that are connected by really like one of the only major road systems, that the great empires might have built in the past. And in the last kind of 6 months, your destinations all ended up being between the Basel to Polb route. So you were quite familiar with it. You were generally entering from the north.
Bodies.
If I've been in and out of Polb and traveling around here, which I have
The guy mentioned the bloods before Beleg put a knife into him or a sword into him. Would I be able to try and recall what the bloods are? Or have I had dealings with them in the past?
Oh, that's an interesting one. So as you guys go down the stairs, Steve, can you roll... What would that be? I mean, investigation, I feel like. Or history. No, you're saying history.
Either or. It's an intelligence check for me.
What's just flat intelligence for you? Yep. Well, add a modifier of some type, please.
Insight? No, insight's more telling if someone's lying or not.
Hmm.
I don't really have anything awesome.
Just roll a d20.
Yep.
And so as you guys go down there, can everybody roll a perception? And so you've left Mickey and the badger.
True to form, Belly rolled a 4.
I rolled an 18 for the intelligence check. Okay. And a 7 plus 4. So 11 for my perception.
I rolled a 7 plus 1, so 8.
I got a good old 6.
Wow, we were all not very perceptive.
We're all not paying attention.
Well, that makes sense, Steve. You can only focus on one thing at once. The bloods, you totally recognize that. Polb is definitely a city divided. Within Polb and without of the walls, there's huge differences. In this southern area where the river Polba cuts in, it's bedlam. And it's not uncommon to have tons of crime, even crime waves that are not affecting the rest of Pol at all. And have you heard of the Bloods? It's a name you probably heard of, but it's extremely general application to the idea that you've been the victim of some sort of gang in Southern Polb. It doesn't seem like it's some villainous organization, but you've definitely heard of it.
So they're a gang.
I killed them for a reason.
As we're coming up to this boat, can I do an investigation check to make sure there's nobody else on this boat that we're going to encounter or try to hear them?
Yeah, sure.
Stealth up and do a bit of an investigation.
How are you? Are you stepping aboard? Are you checking it out first? I mean, it's bobbing away, and you guys, as you are walking up, I guess, on the gangplank between the pickle and this fairly larger vessel, but not hugely larger. When it's about 36 feet or so, you're not hearing anything without stepping on the boat. Nobody's on deck. It does have an upper deck cabins, and it has a lower deck, clearly.
I'd like to stealth onto it, or do a stealth check to get onto the boat.
Okay, why don't you guys collectively roll stealth, and as long as everybody beats my DC, you guys just tell me what you do.
I hope your DC is 10.
Fuck, you're just rolling like shit.
I rolled a 10.
I'll try. Do we want to know something?
I'm a 10 as well.
Oh, nat 20. Whee!
Okay.
I suppose
I'm
Steve can
10.
Take a second to check and see if there's any humanoids in there. 16 stealth.
And 20 Kaitoa. Sorry, I missed you, Rook.
10.
Steve, aren't you still focused on Stolas?
No, I'm in communication with him, but I'm not.
Oh, you don't have to, like, you can break that concentration to look at the boat?
The concentration is in order to track humanoids within a 5-mile radius.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, Steve, was the 1 minute was to get a ping on running. Let's call him, give this guy Running Randy.
Yeah. So, Running Randy's whereabouts and Running Randy himself has been. The information's been transferred to Stolas. And what I have Stolas doing now is basically following Running Randy.
We're going to let him feel safe, and then once he gets home and in his bed, we're going to come in there and get him.
Show up. Yeah.
So this was not some huge, booby-trapped boat, guys. This is, Beleg, you know what? Yeah, everybody passed the DC anyways, but it's like Rook and Beleg tied at 10 and Steve there at 16. Kaitoa just jumps on this thing, and Kaitoa, tell me how you, like a one-man SWAT team, just clear this boat, and I'll tell you ahead of time, you don't find any living person.
I just do the same as I did on Mickey's boat, doing a whole side shuffle down the side, but yeah, I like use my power to like lift myself quietly onto the like gunwale and hop on the boat, and I do a whole SWAT team like clear and sweep, like back against the corner, like go and just like roll around to the side windows, do a side shuffle around, peek in the cabin, hoist myself back up, see nothing, maybe use a couple lines to swing around the dock and just clear it in 2 seconds.
All right, as you say go, like you gotta, like you wave these guys on, and yeah, as you guys burst in, it's not a very well kept vessel. It looks like it's, I don't know, maybe a shipping vessel. It's all down there, barrels and cots, and there is actually a small chest with a not a small amount of gold and silver and all kinds of, it's plunder. And you see as well when you go into the cabin that clearly has, been occupied only temporarily. Like this thing looks like it's a sloop just designed as, you know, it looks like just a swarming platform. A bunch of brigands jump on this boat, come on up, just as people, you know, when you walk away from your car, that's when the thieves come, you know, right when you think you're okay. They break in right when you turn away. And that was the game the four of you determine, as you see the shoddily kept boat with really nothing on it. It was just almost like a raft for these brigands. But yeah, in the captain's quarters, here are a couple of map scrolls. And these map scrolls are in like a big tube. There's 3 or 4 of them.
I definitely think like Belly, you're a pretty good coin purse for the party. If you do go into that, but you might want to check for a booby trap.
You're immune to poison, aren't you?
I am.
You should check for a booby trap.
Good call. Okay.
Well, I don't care about the money, but yeah, okay, if you needed to.
Okay, great. Kaitoa, you were at the head of the pack. Just as these guys are in your wake, as you kind of led down into the lower bunks, they're still down there, and you're finding this little treasure box. So there you are, you know, Indiana Jones style, looking over it. And do you have a trap detect or something on physical traps?
Fuck, what is that called again? Yeah, okay, it's feature sense.
I'll tell you
what. Advantage against a dex save. Yeah. But a not for like perceiving anything. No. That's if it attacks, I'll have advantage. Could like, I can see something. As long as I can see it moving and it's a dex save, I'll have advantage.
Okay. I'm just going to say while he's doing that, I'm going to head over to the scrolls, start checking those out.
Okay, so there's these four big map scrolls. Like, if you open them up, I mean, you guys are definitely committing to spending a minute or two down here. Gurms and the Badger still up there. You see crowds now, you know, from the docked boats, gingerly avoiding the carnage. And you do see a couple of wagons, maybe, like people pushing wagons up from the alleyway that connects the big jetty here to the first streets of massive Polb.
Can I just grab them and head back out to the road to make sure I keep an eye on what's going on?
You want my advice?
I just want to grab the scrolls.
Grab the scrolls.
Yeah. They're not off the boat.
They're not heavy and they're well protected.
I was just going to say the carry weight of those scrolls. I don't know, man.
So you sling them over your shoulder and Kaitoa, back to you.
Yeah.
This is not This is not a trapped
chest
in any way. It's like a small wooden chest. And there is, you deem to be, probably several hundred silver in there, and many more hundreds copper and rings and earrings. And you, Beleg, and Steve, just quickly, where are you guys at?
I'm hopping on the boat.
Steve is kind of, I guess, he was hanging out by the door of the boat. I was somewhat interested in the mast, but if Rook's grabbing them, Steve's fine.
As I walk by, Steve and Beleg's going the other way, I'm going to kind of murmur to them, I'm probably not the one you guys want me going out here to deal with this crowd over here.
That's not my game either, if we need to talk.
We don't have a mouth.
I'm not getting people.
Even our animal is like a ferocious wild animal.
It is absolutely necessary for the peace and safety of mankind that some of Earth's dark, dead corners and unplumbed depths be let alone, lest sleeping abnormalities wake to resurgent life, to newer and wider conquests. H.P. Lovecraft. But what if the worst should happen, and these words go unheeded? The darkness deepens, but you'll find you're not alone with the Lovely Craftians, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast, available at lovelycraftianspodcast.com or your favorite podcasting app. We all roll for sanity together here.
And we don't have a mouth to say.
I'm not getting people.
Even our animal is like a ferocious wild animal.
Okay, Beleg, let's grab this. The whole fight, you are a nondescript human, right?
Pardon?
Beleg, the whole fight, and still now, you're a nondescript sort of middle to lower class human, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. And you're still that way?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, well, yeah, if Beleg comes under the boat and I like can hear him enter or see him enter, then I just say, Beleg, hold on to this. And I just start like shoveling the gold towards him, or the silver and copper.
Sounds good. Beleg is all right with that.
Yeah. Robin, I imagine you can keep track of what actually is there.
You can DM me if you want, Rob. I can put it in the
first. Certainly. Beleg can quickly count. You almost know the weight in your hands, Beleg. It's 220 silver, about 350 copper.
That's about 350.
You estimate there to be potentially 100s worth of jewelry and rings. You see some nice signet rings in there. A couple of them stand out with nice big gems in them. So, I'm sure you can take all of that down. And you guys have...
It was 350 copper and how much silver?
About 220 silver. And about 100 in gold jewelry. You don't see any gold pieces, but you see tons of quite expensive looking jewelry. And then you're up there, Rook. You've got these will look to be like maps and scrolls. Otherwise, this is just, it's a derelict ship.
Yeah.
The sails barely work. Yeah. It's almost like this thing was just shoved in from another one of the jetties.
Okay.
I'm going to head towards Gurm and the Badger, and kind of, if I gotta kind of push my way through the crowd to get to them, I'll do that.
Yeah, the party, I think, or like Kaito anyways, I head right back to Gurm.
Yep. What are we doing about the sea pickle?
I trust Steve to light it on fire.
Yeah, we gotta shove it off, though. We need a bit of a delayed fire to happen, so we can't just light it on fire and push it off, especially because the crowd's here.
I've got my longbow. I could totally Game of Thrones it, you know?
But then also this whole crowd is going to watch this one dude just like firing a longbow off the dock.
Yeah, well, I'm already kind of pushing my way through the crowd, so I wouldn't be able to do it. But
so I guess we could just gotta shove it off.
All right.
I don't think we got time to light it on fire.
I mean, I've got a lantern. Just chuck in.
Well, yeah, unless you start the fire in Mickey's cabin and then push it off or something, like somewhere hidden, lock the door maybe somehow.
A lantern works. Can I do a quick history check to remember if there's anything valuable on the sea pickle before we cast it away?
Well, on the outside, it's the sea pickle you're familiar with, Beleg. Like, you left your stolen scimitar, a couple things. I assume everybody else took almost everything else. But there's definitely, you know, jerky and ale and all the things that you would have expected to re-encounter, I guess, in 2 days, if that happened.
Well, that doesn't sound like anything I need.
Steve's going to hop in the boat, take his lantern, spread oil all over. Possibly, if he's got a second, to find anything else that could potentially be flammable. Light it on fire, basically just like hop out of the boat, chewing like a piece of jerky. Very nonchalantly.
Whoa.
And then cut the rope, push it off, and just keep walking.
I'm not seeing it. I'm just focused on Gurm and what's going on. Can I do a...
Beleg just shrugs. Like, all right, cool. That works.
Can I do a quick like little perception on the crowd and kind of what the mood is of their, I guess, their perception of this scene here?
The crowd, only the women and children who walk by, who are disembarking from some of the larger boats, some of them are covering their, you know, their faces, and sort of looking away. Some of the men are chuckling away. And as you guys move up, some of these wagons, which appear to be rook meat wagons, are also actually starting to shovel up the bodies.
Okay, but nobody's like reacting in kind of like a negative way or anything like that to like Gurm or the Badger or us.
It doesn't appear that way.
This is Sophie, another man. Day. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
On the dock. All right. Yeah. That's good to know.
Just another day in South Central Pole.
Can I seek out a piece of meat and toss it to the Badger for him to gnaw?
Yeah, Badger needs to have some reward for all the great work she did.
Oh, we need to find a pub and get a nice steak.
I don't want to go into another pub.
Does right, anybody have prestidigitation?
No.
No.
Okay, I'll remind Brandon, I'll remind Rook, you're okay. You have a bit of brain on your cloak and shoulder. You're otherwise okay.
Yeah.
You not only survived this thing, but yeah, your new, by the way, I updated your token, your new, what do you call it, their ox blood kind of cape and boots really don't show blood spray all that much, so it's great.
It's great.
Kaitoa, you are covered from when you were right beside Beleg's guy that got split.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not wearing any clothes and I'm all metal, so
you
I'm
may need
a
like
dip in the ocean.
A hose
yeah.
down, I don't know. And then I've seen no problem with anybody else. Yeah. But Steve, owl check-in?
Yep.
See the fellow in the white tunic?
He's kind of just on
against
the
wall
there.
With the lamp.
Against the wall, yeah.
Or with the
little satchel.
Yeah,
that's him. And you've seen that he's shed, you know, his brigandish armor and his breastplate and all this medium armor. And this is what you see right now. So Running Randy is still in sight, and you know, Steve and Rook, you're inquiring, you know, both of you, I guess, about the crowds. So crowded right now, and the bloodshed, although it's definitely making impact down in the jetty, I mean, this is still hundreds of feet away from even the first street of Polb. It's like two different worlds at the moment, except for the meat wagons, which have clearly come out from somewhere nearby.
and I'm able, like I said, I can grab a piece of meat and maybe flip him a copper or something and then throw that meat to Crisblick.
Is that like human meat?
Caleb, you are
I don't think Crisblick cares about human or not.
These are empty wagons that are for, as you watch, Rook, loading up the human corpses. They are empty as they travel up the jetty. And there's a couple of workers with, it looks like, white headscarves on that also cover their noses and mouths. Yeah, they're loading up the carnage bodies. And so any meat in there is the meat that you guys just pulverized. You want some hamburger?
Okay. Ew. Yeah. Is there a limb or something hanging there that I can kind of just walk over and grab and throw to Crisblick?
There's a couple of fingers and ears you think a battle badger might like.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm just going to grab a handful of those and kind of look at the guys loading up the wagon. And as I throw those over to Crisblick, kind of just like give him a little smirk and turn around and walk to Crisblick and Gurm.
Instead of like a pig ear, it's just like, here's a human ear.
All right, as you do this and you take out maybe your pocket knife or something and quickly and deftly take off an ear off the corpse that was maybe in one of the wagons already, one of these guys turns around, and although you can't see his expression, he definitely, notices, but he goes back to his work. And you guys are now in the early afternoon. It's high noon now. That bell that you remember was about 15 minutes ago. And for all intents and purposes, this mess is being cleaned up in front of your eyes. Now, Steve, you said you pushed the sea pickle adrift?
Yeah, I cut the moorings and pushed it out so it would be floating away from the dock while the fire began.
Hey, Rob, we heard that bell coming from the religious kind of church temple district, quarter. Right?
Yeah.
Can I do a religion check to find out where it would be coming from or what reason it would be ringing?
Yeah, for sure. What's that? History, religion?
I think religion if it's coming from temple, but...
Yeah, you got a +1 there. Yeah, roll it up.
And I know shit, so...
Yeah, for all you know, it seems like a... For all you know, it seems like a noon bell, man.
Okay.
Do we go to Dorfil?
Yeah.
I want to follow this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to follow the guy first? All right.
Let's cut these loose ends. Also, all right. I want to know...
Can Gurm walk?
Now you can do your dexterity and strength check, Kaitoa.
My strength is 12.
I wanted to ask you,
so 17.
Like Kaitoa, I assume, and we've talked about it before, like you are a huge warforged. Lithe, thin creature. I mean, you're quite bulky, yes?
Yeah. 17 for strength. And an 11 plus 1, so 12 for dex.
That'll do it. So you're able to carry Gurm Mickey somehow.
Yep.
Grab on, buddy.
Put him in one of your compartments.
Put him in a compartment?
Yeah.
You live here now, Gurm.
Yeah, get in my body.
Oh, God, it smells in there. Shut that compartment door. You must be joking.
He's climbing on my back. Yeah.
Give me a spot up here beside your armor plate here on your shoulder. There you go.
Dude. And he coughs a fair amount of blood down your side there.
All I have in my mind is like one of those like shopping carts at the supermarket with the little like baby thing that you fold out.
His legs sticking out.
Just have a little baby carpet. His little legs sticking out the back end.
Actually, it's a pretty good disguise because at least we can say Gurm is controlling me, and I don't stick out so much.
Can that's awesome. Can I do a quick little look around kind of as we're going? Because Gurm's in pretty rough shape here, and if we kind of go rolling in through the plaza with him coughing up blood and all that kind of stuff, might draw a bit of attention as we're people trying to follow this guy.
Happens all the time.
Right. I just think we're not going to be as stealthy as we want to be when we're trying to catch up with this guy.
Oh, I'm going to wait back a bit. I'm not...
Well, okay. The other thing is that Steve has, like, I assume, a good idea of, like, we can... You guys can stop about a block away if the question... Yeah. If we need to sneak up on him. Or we could even, like, we can also kettle him in. So we know, if we know, like, we know where he's at exactly, we could cover...
We could surround him.
A block away, you've got the construct. A block away, we've got Balag. A block away, we've got the orc, and we just basically close in on them.
Okay, let's head to him.
I just want to make sure that we got an idea there.
As you guys quickly finish discussing your battle plans, Stolas reports back in and gives you a bird's eye view, almost, Steve. And you see your quarry move from that sort of narrow interior archway stairway out of the buildings and onto this bridge, or at least right up to this bridge that leads from the South Docks District into Polb proper, which seems to have almost a guard tower, this toll booth. So as you guys have discussed, your quarry is now a fair clip away. Okay. Further south is that area that Gurm described, the South Wall District, the safe shack.
I figure we could just catch up to this guy, find out who he is, who sent him, and then head down.
Cool.
Either way.
Let's do her.
You guys are all taking off as a group then, are you, towards what you know to be the sort of entrance from the South Docks and the South Docks District, which is almost its own little entity here, and you're going to first cross this first little nice canal, and Polb has these wonderful little canals that sort of creep in, there's three or four of them, as you cross that one. Over these small pedestrian bridges, there are thousands of faces, it seems. You are showing up right in the middle of the day. And Brandon, I'm going to quickly deal with, you still have that religion role back in the day, a year ago?
Yeah. That sweet religion role, yeah.
This is a real match itself, and Polb especially are just an overlap of current and past religions. But there's three big temples here. There's, as often you'll find on the west coast of Beharu, Temple of Dan. And that is one of the large ones across from the White Chain. But also Inandandro's sister, Jebda. And that's the month we're in now. Jebruary. And there's also a temple devoted to her. Rounding out the triumvirate here is a temple devoted to Kudur, top of the pyramid, apex god, when it comes to battle.
And they're all within the striking distance of the White Chain?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what, this city is several miles across. If you walked all the way out to, Kurgrove, which is this, you know, other sort of farm and orchard city, which is slowly being enveloped by the creeping slums and the shanty towns outside of, the castle district. If you went all the way out there, like, that's a walk. But if you stay inside the walls of, you know, Old Polb, which has been around for, several hundred years in this walled format, everywhere is going to be within 25, 30 minutes. And the temple quarter, right where you are, the noble quarter, the bridge district, it all centers around this plaza. And you guys are very close to that nexus as you approach this tall bridge tower.
How far are we now? We're right at the mouth of that toll bridge.
Yeah,
that's right.
Where's the guy we're tracking in relation to that?
Okay, so Steve, you've seen him like a slick creature hook underneath this toll bridge, and clearly he's done this before because he seemed to have disappeared out of sight, and he's now going along, you know, the undercarriage of this toll bridge, apparently unseen. As I'd say, several dozen people seem to be able to cross through this toll bridge that has some gates, and clearly people are paying some sort of a coinage to get through. Rest of the party here, I mean, Kaitoa, you have a you know, can you feel the warmth of Gurm bleeding all over you?
No, because okay. I don't feel temperature.
Okay, so you see the blood coursing over your shoulder and only notice when you stop momentarily that, like, oh, what's this dripping? Oh, it's the gnome dying on my shoulder. Krizblik is healing too, and here you guys are right at the edge of the toll bridge. Yep.
All right. Hey, Belleg, looks like we might have to pay a toll.
Yeah, I got the cash.
All right.
I'm going to try and say that Gurm on my back, I'm taking him to the temples because he's obviously dying.
In
case anyone asks.
Using medicine.
Oh, well, I thought we did already, but I thought the Cure Wounds did that. But.
So your Cure Wounds gave him... Well, let's see. Not to get too meta, I'm just drinking it. I'm going to open up my beer for the night. It's Raven's English Dark Mild.
Ooh. You can use the medicine skill to...
That'd be strong.
It's like a skill roll, but you can use it to basically staunch blood. It's like one of those things where if someone gets knocked unconscious and they're in their dying...
Yeah.
That dying phase, another character can use their medicine skill to basically stabilize them.
Yeah, so it's sort of breaking character here as the DM. Maybe I didn't describe it well enough. Gurm was dead.
Okay.
Son of a bitch.
You know that part in the battle where he said he's not moving?
Yeah.
He was dead. So, Steve, I mean, you took a huge, you know, sort of, I think, move. Although you only restored a couple hit points. So I think he's got a couple hit points back. You totally saved his life. Good job, guys. I think that's, good job. But he's not cool.
Okay, so I guess
he needs help.
The choice we have to make is follow this guy or Gurm's going to bleed out if we don't get him to Dorophil, then.
Can we use another heal potion? Like, if we used another one of those heal potions...
I still got two, so I can always give him mine.
If we want to continue following this guy, we've got to at least give him one of those.
Yeah, okay, so I give Gurm one of my two potions that Bella gave me.
I mean, I guess the nice thing is we still have the option of Stolas basically keeping an eye on this guy.
He's like a satellite. He's almost like Google Maps up there.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I basically like geotagged this guy.
You know, that's...
Yeah.
The cool thing is it gives us a great excuse for a top-down map of a large city like Polb. You know, people in this age do not conceive of their cities in top-down maps. Or at least in general, like that's not how they're conceiving it. But I think Stolas gives us great a way to actually explain that. On the other hand, I'd say that certainly a couple of you guys are probably, actually, I think all of you are quite adept at reading maps. I mean, Kaitoa, you've been around forever. You got a soldier's background. Same with you, Belleg. You've got some nautical background. You've read some sea maps. Brandon, Rook, and you probably have a pretty kind of educated, we can assume, background. You can read and stuff. And Steve, we know, keeps something called the Map of Places Steve has been, which I assume is sort of a mental map or something. So all of this goes through your head. As you guys make a key decision, you leave this guy and you see him in Stolas's view now. He's making his way sort of to the plaza. And Kaitoa, you said you were going to cram another healing potion into Gurm?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you roll odds or evens?
Odds or evens. Okay.
And you open up your little package, and what did...
It's evens.
Okay. So is that in your favor?
Yeah. would it not be?
Roll 2d4 plus 4. It's a potion of greater healing.
2, then a 3 plus 4, 9.
You pop the top off of this thing.
Hey, Grim, drink this.
And he doesn't even leave your back. But there's actually now like an immediate, you do see some actual closing of wounds. Literally, especially on his extremities. He sputters a bit, his pipe clutters to the floor. You're like 7 feet tall, and he's up there kind of perched on you. And he points with his hand down to the south and says,
"We gotta cross the toll bridge anyways."
I pick up his pipe that he dropped.
Yeah, but like, pay our way, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I pay.
Yeah, we approach the toll tower. Is there a guard there we talk to?
Yeah, you were in Polb before, and there was definitely this nice kind of decorative archway, but it was not converted like it was now to like a literal sort of turnstile. And as you guys walk through, there seems to be no problem getting through as long as you produce 5 copper. And everybody, as you walk up, is being asked by several guards at each of these sort of turnstiles, simply for their name and what dock
class,
they're at,
race, and level.
Yeah. Fuck this. what low hanging fruit? That'd be hilarious.
One of you guys would be in the way.
I'll go first with this dude on my back.
Well, we're at the south docks, right?
Yeah, dock 3.
No, we're now at the gate, aren't we?
No, but yeah, we need to claim what boat we're on and where we're coming from.
Oh, okay. Yeah, dock 3.
Dock 3, but maybe the boat got stolen and it's not there anymore.
Can I go up and flip him my copper to cross, and then as I'm kind of, as they ask my name and what boat we're from, I'm gonna kind of shine a silver piece at him and say, "Well, does that really matter?"
You'll bribe.
Sure. Can you roll a persuasion?
Oh, come on, be my better roll of the night. Let's do this. What do we got here? Persuasion. Oh, that's not good. 9.
And you're going to roll advantage with this because I've found a way to reconcile your one of your sort of background traits with your terrible sort of social skills. So you can roll advantage now on your -1 persuasion as long as you keep it together. It escalates so quickly with you, Rook.
It always does. It always does. Yeah, that's not going to help me this time. I rolled a 10 on my first one and a 4 on my second. So I'm at a 9.
Fuck.
This tall gentleman, he whispers quietly, "Money talks." And gives you a nod, pass through, and ushers you through.
Nice. I'm going to flip him a silver and wave the guys through.
All right, you're indicating everybody come through, yeah. And this guard is fine. He looks straight down at his feet and holds his hand out to the left, ushering you all through.
Great.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Money hold talks. On. That's good
hold,
to know.
Hold on. Whose animal's this?
It's mine.
Leash. And he taps a small sign next to the toll booth, and there seems to be some rudimentary iconography, one of them showing a badger, among other common animals in Western Beharu. You know, you see like some ferrets and foxes. Birds, there's a nice big green circle around all types of birds, but he insistently taps that and says again, must find a leash, go on, must find a leash though, go on.
All right, we'll find one.
Thanks. Steve,
like we need one now or we need to find one?
No, he's letting you go.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we just need, yeah, we need to find one.
Steve pulls a chunk of rope out.
Well, yeah, I have my, like, homemade twine ropes.
Can you, like, quickly crochet something together?
Well, no, I already have, like, some of the ropes that I've been, like, making and twining out of branches. I've already been making this shit. I have it. Yeah.
Nice.
It's just, like, a little grass rope that I've made.
Hey, great, Rob, how much great. Copper was that? To get through.
You must have paid him one copper silver. For each of you and tipped him a silver or bribed him a silver.
So total on the copper was just one? One each?
Oh, sorry. What did I say? Five coppers to get through. So you could have either given him two silvers for the fare for you guys to get into Polb Major, let's call it. And you would have given him a... So you could either pay him three silver or you could have paid him 10 copper and one silver.
Okay. Three silver, I guess. Yeah.
Brayden, I like how your picture is like Gurm riding in like a makeshift baby Bjorn.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's hilarious.
Just this like hand woven baby Bjorn.
I love it, man.
So now we're across the bridge and what are we?
Yeah. The baby smokes a pipe.
He's got the pipe. Fuck, did somebody... Oh, shit. Did somebody pick up his pipe?
I did. No, yeah,
you did?
I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. I said I pick up his pipe.
Good as man. Soon as I heard it you up. Guys are earning so many morality points. As you check in with Stolas, Steve, this fellow has run into a bit of a dead end alley. Doesn't seem to be a problem for him though. He's making himself very scarce right now. He is now out of sight. You know, he shed his armor. There he is, and Stolas perches above and reports and pings back in. Great reception.
I got full bars?
Full feathers.
Full feathers, yeah.
Stolas now with 3G coverage.
Does Steve know exactly where he dropped his armor? Was it nice armor?
Oh, I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, no, I don't think he would have seen
probably
it.
Probably not. I mean, that's a ways back before he got.
So one thing that tied all of these fellows together, even the brigands, is you noticed they were all wearing formidable armor. Actually, rather coveted breastplates.
I know, that's why I just the asked. Turtle.
And although they were all kind of, you know, individualized and different, you know, this was good armor made for movement. And yeah, Stolas would have noticed in that little scene, you know, where the archways intersect. I mean, that's where you first got a glimpse of him without his armor. So yeah. He would have dropped this stuff, you know, probably well before he got to the Toll Bridge Tower.
Bella. Well,
that's what you're asking. So that's, but I mean, you guys also abandoned all that stuff down on the docks. And I mean, obviously now, like kind of wink, wink, you can tell what those meat wagoners were probably after. Like there was a lot of probably valuable armor.
Breastplates.
They had breastplates?
Oh man, I described their breastplates like a lot last episode. The snail. I even said those snail hand painted on his breastplate. Anyways.
Yeah. Oh no.
You know what I thought you guys, sorry, I'm kind of breaking out here for just a moment. You know, guys really thought you were going to do, I thought you were going to try and keep one of the clearly more substantial guys alive. And certainly pick over their armor and maybe take their armor or something.
Oh, Steve totally would have done that.
Bellag's a little sad that he missed out on breastplate.
I was thinking about it. Yeah, breastplate's awesome. They're so expensive. Like 400 gold.
It just popped into my mind to be like, wait, do we know where he dropped the armor? And that was too late. Crap.
I thought they were all like just shitty equipped guys.
What I'll do, guys, is I will now drop a token. Bellag, your sort of things you might have asked about in poll, I'm going to drop a token here. And Steve relays to you via, you know, Stolas coordinates that it's probably right after that first canal.
Sweet.
That he shed the armor because I'll just move the token real quick. Actually, no, I'll put a new token. Burgundy. This is that little stairway of interest where Stolas checked in.
Damn.
So you guys just passed it. I mean, you guys just got through Toll Bridge Tower.
You're like, oh man, I forgot my keys. Can I get back out?
But we all can't fit into the armor.
All right, to your left is clearly the big plaza. And it is packed. These main streets, and to your right is that district where, you know, the Wizard's Spear is. And directly in front of you, if you continue on, is the White Chain. Further down, if you veered right, is the Merchant's Gate, which leads, again, out of Polb, but into the South Wall District, where Dorophil's safe house was indicated to be.
All right, do we go to the dude right now, then, on the way to Dorophil?
I think we drop off Gurm and then kind of do what we do.
Drop off Grim and then go back?
And catch up with him? That's a top-notch idea, Rook.
Alright, then.
If you want to run back solo and pick that stuff up, that's all good. And meet us at Dorophil, but
I got permission from one person, that's all that counts.
You go. Okay, Bellag, we'll deal with you. You're going to hop back and try and investigate Bellag. That.
Can you leave some silver and gold with me? Just because if we need to pay for anything, I'm fucked without you.
Mummy, Daddy, I want to buy something. Please leave me with some change.
I want some sweets from the shop.
Can we say that I just leave like an ample amount of silver and copper pieces with
my team? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, can you guys quickly make a sleight of hand check or a dexterity check as you transfer tons of money in this huge crowd? Beat a 10. Just don't fuck this up.
So dexterity.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's sorry, my page is done.
Ooh, you got anything to add to that, Bellag?
I rolled a 6.
Oh.
So if I can do it by doing a flip in the air using acrobatics, that would work.
I got a 15 plus 1.
Okay, Bellag, you drop a couple coins, but like you swoop in underneath and catch these coins before they bounce down. And you're off, Bellag, back towards the tower. And there's no problem going out of Pold proper. You know, there's a couple of gates that sort of, as long as you have, the politeness to know that this is the exit gate. Two guards simply uncross their spears, and you are back, dashing towards the South Docks District and that canal where Steve said there must have been discarded armor. You three plus two, right? So the three in the party and Gurm and the Badger are making your way down to this, what would you call it, square? That's, I mean, nonetheless large, but not the huge plaza you see down the street here. What's next?
I motion for Chris Blake to maybe hop up into my arms. just because I'm not going to leash him or her, but I definitely don't want her like roaming free.
Oh, I thought you threw a leash on her, a crocheted leash.
Oh, yeah, no, if that actually
happened. Oh, yeah, dude. Happen, no, fuck. Yeah. I assume you...
I just said we could.
You take out your knitting needles and super fast, like almost unbelievably fast.
Yeah, sweet.
You make it, and Krizblik is not at all dissatisfied with wearing this.
Yeah, I thought I might have
can
to
make,
roll for
can it. Can I make that's a request for our next battle, Kaitoa? Can you kill somebody with a knitting needle? Like, that would just be unreal.
Maybe. Yeah. You want to see a magic trick?
So you guys are, traveling where?
Towards the safe house.
Got it.
Okay.
And that is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
I matrixed my way out of the fucking six guys there. I don't know how the hell I survived that one, but
yeah,
that was hilarious. Like
100%.
There was one point too where I was saying to Brayden, I was like, "Oh man, like Belleg and Krizblik were down. The guys were almost all dead." I was like, "Oh, like Rook's like 30 feet. I can totally get to him and engage." And then Belleg's like, Krizblik and Kaitoa got this. I'm out. And then just left me. And I was like, fuck, I totally was going to go try and help you. And then like 1 second later, the next move, all five guys just like swarm upon you and surround you. And I was like, fuck. But thankfully, like you were able to take some hits and hold off till I got up there.
Yeah, I was just a blur as I was bobbing and weaving.
I'm just going to say it though, Robin, a monkey or an ape would have been really awesome right now.
A monkey in a plate mail suit.
Yeah, just galloping down the trail after this
furious
guy.
Furious George.
Tearing through the city.
Yeah.
Furious
city,
George lives.
Yeah, city on fire, this just fucking great ape in mail, just running down the street.
And to your comment, Caleb, you got a badger in a poncho. You know, I know it's not...
I know it's on not this, a monkey in mail.
I know, and on the scale where monkey in mail is pretty high.
He's got opposable thumbs, Robin.
Yeah. Two-handed sword wielding plate mail monkey.
Oh man. So we do have a badger we can wrap in metal spiky armor and roll down the street.
But, just gonna say it, I like our badger. Not to be such a downer.
Hey, I like this badger more than anyone.
This new growth pairs lovely with this broccoli crown that I'm eating because I didn't go grocery shopping.
I hope it's not because you taste cooked vegetables in the new growth.
No. Way too much hop in that beer to detect DMS.
Yeah. I used to had to throw in the craft beer nerd moment.
I like it.
And this is sort of, you know, representative of a crowded corners and streets, and is that what's honking in the background? That was great timing.
Yeah.
So the
downtown Victoria.
I think every time we killed someone, the cops come. Apparently.
Yeah. Shit. Sorry. So this is the part where remember a couple things I didn't answer. You asked Kaitoa to inspect his crossbow as you were also helping him out. That makes sense. This is an interesting thing. The bow Like the actual curved part of it serves no function. It's all decorative.
Yeah.
There's six tubes.
It's the trigger.
You can't tell how to sort of how exactly it works. You haven't actually inspected it. But they seem to be powered by not strings and tension. There is something else going on with this weapon. It definitely has six tubes as part of the crossbow.
Yeah. It runs on self-satisfaction.
It runs on smug satisfaction.
Yeah. And Mickey's pretty content with himself. Okay.